Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're talking this evening about the foundations of faith. We've been talking about foundations. At least a few weeks ago, we were in a series on foundations and had some things come up to get us off that. But I want to continue on this idea of the foundations of the Christian life. Certain things that we must have in our life if we're going to be what God wants us to be. We talked about the foundation of the family. We talked about the foundation of the church. We talked about the foundation of a belief in God, a belief in the living God. And now tonight we're going to talk about the foundation of faith. When we talk about faith, people have an odd idea of faith. That people will say things like, "Well, I wish I had the kind of faith you have," or "We want to have great faith." When we talk about faith, people question what it really means to live by faith. What does it mean to actually walk by faith and live by faith? Let me give you a definition. Living by faith is getting direction from God's word. I must get direction from God's word. Living by God's priorities, following his direction for my life, and then doing all I can to obey him and accomplish the vision he's given me for my life. That's living by faith. Doing all of that, then I trust him with the results. God, this is what I believe your word says. I'm going to do what your word says. I'm going to live by the priorities that are in your word. And as I do, then I'm going to trust you with the results. Whatever happens then is totally up to you. I'm just going to trust that you are in control. That is living by faith. In Luke chapter 12, we have the story that starts off with a rich man who did not live by faith. He lived by faith, if you would, in his own abilities, but not by faith in God. Let's read it. We're going to read Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 34. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul," soul, you ever talk to yourself? "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You've lived for yourself, for your desires, for what you wanted to do. You're going to be dead. Then who's going to take these things? "So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." What does it mean? So is he that layeth up. He's saying, so is that the person, you're a fool too. If that's the way you're living, to lay up treasures for yourself, then you're living as a fool. "And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you," based on what he's just said, "I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have they storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, by thinking or by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit?" That's 18 inches. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, I think this is very interesting. God's saying, you can't add 18 inches to your height. You can't even do that. That's one of the least things. For God, growing you by 18 inches, Gary, that's a little thing. That's no big thing. That's a little thing. Hey, grow 18 inches. And that would be a little thing to God. This is the least of things. If you can't do this, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. And I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow was cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? You see, the whole passage here is talking about faith. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. I mean, that's what we do a lot. We're thinking, what are we going to eat next? What are we going to drink next? What are we going to do to satisfy our flesh? Neither be of doubtful mind. That is, don't worry about thinking, oh, maybe we won't be able to eat. We better eat all we can now. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, he speaks to the church. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Father, I pray that you would help us to just look at several passages of Scripture, God, this evening, that point to what it means to live by faith. And help us to be people who've determined to live by faith. Help us to understand what this means. And I pray that you'll communicate to your people this night, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Living by faith is not sitting back and saying, well, okay, I'm just going to expect God to do everything, and when he does, I'll watch and say, wow, look what God did. Living by faith is not putting your hands in your pocket and waiting for God to do something. Living by faith, as I said earlier, is doing everything that God wants you to do. Living by priorities, doing what God wants you to do, trusting him, getting direction from God's word, and then doing all you can to do what he wants you to do, and then leaving the results to him. That is what living by faith is. In this passage of Scripture, we see several things. Number one, we see that living by faith means having the right priorities. In this passage of Scripture, we have this story of this man who was wealthy. He had so much coming in. This was an agricultural society, and had so much coming in, so much harvest coming in that he had no place to put the crops. And so he looked at his barns and said, what am I going to do? Instead of thinking, man, I have so much, I can now help others. I can now minister to others. I can now take care of others. I can use what God has given me to benefit other people. No, what he thought about was himself. He thought about, I want this for me. And he started thinking about what he could do. So he thought, what I can do is I can rip down my barns and I can build bigger barns, and then I'll have everything I need. Then I will be able to look at myself and I will be able to say, take thy soul, take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It was all about him. I want you to see, this man wasn't thinking about his family. This man wasn't thinking about his wife or his children. This man wasn't thinking about his neighbors. This man wasn't thinking about his God. This man was thinking totally and completely about himself. And it's so easy to get into that state of mind. He's got it all. The fool forgot four things, and I preached on this a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to repeat them or take time to repeat them all, but I do want to give you just the basic outline. Number one, the fool forgot what he had came from God. We must never forget that everything we have came from God. Can you say amen to that? You must never forget that the things that you own, the family you have, the riches that you possess, everything you have came from God. The fool forgot that. The fool forgot what he had was given to glorify God. God didn't give you what he has, whatever it is, whatever talent you have, whatever ability you have. He didn't give it for you to satisfy your own self. He gave it to you to use to reach other people and to glorify him so people could see his glory in your life. It's never been all about you. It's been all about him. Can you say amen to that? God wants you to understand that our life is all about reaching other people with the gospel. Our life is all about reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. The fool forgot what he has was only temporarily in his care. We forget that. We can get so wrapped up in material things, so wrapped up in things that we possess, things that we're living for, that we forget, hey, it's just here temporarily. I mean, it was great tonight. Tonight, we celebrate the fact that our team is number one. But you know what that means? That means as of next year, they start off on the bottom just like everybody else. You understand? Victories, great victories are only for a moment. Our possessions that we have are only for a time. You are only going to be here a certain amount of years. You may be here 20 years or 30 years, or you may be way past that. And maybe you're already here 60 years or 70 years. That means that your years on this planet are less and less. That's reality. And we need to live in that reality. Dr. Mark Rasmussen, the vice president of West Coast Baptist College, has a jar on his desk. He said when he was 55 years old, he filled that jar up with pebbles, enough pebbles, and each pebble represents a day, up to the point that he's 70 years old. And every day he takes a pebble out and puts it in another jar. Every day he takes a pebble out. He said he reminds him that every single day is very valuable, number one. And number two, that he doesn't have a lot of marbles left. And that's reality. The days are going by. And we only have so much time. The Bible says that we need to be circumspect. That we need to consider the days. And understand that we don't have forever. We better use our life for his glory. Everything we have, one of these days we're leaving behind and we're going to stand in front of him. The fool also forgot that he would answer to God for his possessions. He forgot that he was going to answer to God for his possessions, and we need not to forget that. Living by faith means having the right priorities. What are the priorities? Let me tell you something. Your relationship with other people are your priorities. My relationship with my wife is my number one priority. I need to make sure that she's walking with God and that I'm walking with her in a proper way. I'm her leader. I'm her spiritual leader. I better be praying with my wife. I better understand that my relationship with her is more important than anything else in the world. We understand that our relationship with our children is so important, and our relationship with our grandchildren is so important. We will drop everything. In fact, my wife is quicker at dropping everything. And when it comes to the grandchildren, when it comes to the children, boom, it's over, boom. If we get a text from one of my daughters in the middle of the night, we never get a text from one of our sons in the middle of the night because my sons sleep through the night. My daughters do this crazy nursing thing, having babies and stuff. And so from time to time, at 3 o'clock in the morning, my wife will get a text, and she'll say to me, "David, let's pray." I'll say, "Wait a minute, where are we? I'm sound asleep. We need to pray for this, or we need to pray for that, or we need to pray for this." And I think if my daughters would get right with God, they would never text my wife in the middle of the night. But the fact of the matter is that our children know that they are our priority. Our grandchildren, we want our grandchildren to know that they are our priority. Look, these are relationships. You know what? They're not just relationships. They're relationships that are going to continue on. When I'm dead, I'm still going to have a relationship. When I'm in heaven 100 years from now, I'm going to have a relationship with them, with those children. I'm going to have a relationship with my wife. It's not going to be the husband-wife relationship, but I'm going to have a relationship. They're eternal. Look, the people you talk to every single day. Beyond that, my priority is ministering to other people. It's my priority. People. But material things are nothing. And it's amazing how many people are living for the next thing they can buy, for the next thing they can own, for the next thing they can possess that's going to burn up, that's going to be gone. God wants us, by faith, to have a right relationship with Him, have a right relationship with others around us, and do everything we can to reach our world with the gospel. That's living by faith. And I'm telling you, God doesn't want us to be focused on these material things. And it's so easy, especially in our culture, to get so focused. People fight. People get angry. People will get angry at their brothers and sisters and family members and mothers and fathers over material things. She's got more than I. He got more than me. They got their inheritance. They're taking part of what is mine. Look, material, I don't care how precious it is. It's going to burn up. And it's not worth hurting a relationship over. Can you say amen to that? I'm telling you, in my house, I have a rocking chair. That, in fact, about our 35th anniversary, you paid to have it reupholstered. It was sitting out in my garage for years. But it's the rocking chair that my mother rocked me to sleep on when I was a baby. And since then, I have rocked my children to sleep on it, and now I rock my grandchildren to sleep. It's precious to me. But you know what? They could take that thing. It is precious to me, and there's certain things that I've got that are memories from my dad and from my mom. And my dad died when I was 10 years old. Certain things I hold on to. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, I got a box of old Bibles from Sumner Wimp's daughter that had that had quotes and scriptures, and they were his Bibles. They're signed by Jerry Falwell and a lot of great men of God that were preachers that I admired, like B.R. Lincoln, and I've got a Charles Ryrie study Bible signed by Charles Ryrie. It's really signed with a personal note to Sumner. Dear Sumner, you've been a great friend and all that, but it's signed Charles. It's a pretty cool thing, and they're very valuable. But you know what? If you said, hey, you can't have those unless you and ignored your family. Man, there's nothing. I'm talking about personal things that are dear to me materially. You can burn the whole thing up compared to my relationship with my wife and my children and others. I'm telling you, nothing, no relationship is worth any material thing that we have. This man's, he was totally messed up, not living by faith. By faith we understand that what is really important. By faith we understand all this stuff's going to be gone. By faith we understand that our relationship with God and our relationship with people is more important than anything else. Oh, it's so sad. It's so sad. There are things that I like to do. There's things that I like to do to relax. I mean, there is. I like to go home. After church tonight, I'll go home and I'll sit down and I'll plug in. I'll go into my room and I'll put on a DVD of probably Bonanza because I fell asleep halfway through the last episode, and so I'll plug it in and I'll watch it and I'll enjoy it and I'll fall asleep about 15 minutes into it. My wife says I watch 15 minutes of anything I ever watch, but I think to myself, this is going to be relaxing and I'm going to enjoy this and I'm going to laugh. I got. Like 7 seasons of an old show called Home Improvement with Tim Allen. And you say, why do you have that? Because I like stupidity. And that's absolute stupidity. And I like to take that and I like to watch it and laugh at a man just being an idiot. And I like watching that and I like to laugh at that. And that's something fun. Here's what happens. People will say, hey, this is my thing. Now, we don't have this today in our culture so much, except during maybe football season and at the end of any particular sports season, some people will say, I got to stay home. But here's what people will do. They will give up real relationship in order to see some TV show because they want to entertain themselves. I've earned the right now to sit here and laugh at Tim Allen doing stupid stuff on TV. I've earned the right. They'll give up for something for themselves. They'll give up a real relationship. You can do this with Facebook. There are some of you ladies that live your life on Facebook. I heard the story of a lady who said all the electricity went out in their house. Totally went out in their house. And so she couldn't do her Facebook, and she said it was amazing. I went downstairs and I found a family that I had forgotten about. I spent about 15 minutes with them. It was wonderful. Then the lights came back on. I went right back to Facebook. It's amazing how people can ignore their family for some friend they have that they've never met, never will meet on Facebook. Hey, it's getting quiet in here. It's amazing how you can go to a restaurant and watch people sitting across from each other, and there's one person there, one person there, one person there, one person there, and you can sit and watch them as they're sitting face to face, Joe. They're face to face with a person right across, and there's a meal in front of them, and they... And this person's over here. And they get emotional. They get emotional about what... Oh! But they never share their emotion with the person next to them. Oh! Calluses on the fingers and the thumbs. As we ignore the people that are around us for our new priority, the friends that will poke us, hashtag us, do all sorts of other things, and we forget our priorities. Living by faith means having the right priorities. Number two, living by faith means setting our affections on things above. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, and he said unto them, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. How many times do people focus on what they're going to wear, what they're not going to wear, what they're going to eat, the material things of this life? In Colossians, the Bible says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. We're not to live for mere earthly possessions. Our physical, mental, and emotional efforts should be on advancing the kingdom of God. Living for the kingdom of God. That's what we should be doing. That's living by faith. If all I'm living for is the material things of this world, then I'm living just like everybody else. And I'm asking God, God, give me this new thing and give me that new thing. And it's not an act of faith. I'm not asking to advance the kingdom of God. I'm not living for the things above. Living by faith is I am living for that which I cannot see, that which I cannot touch. Does that mean I can't enjoy the things of this earth? No, we can go home, watch Bonanza on TV, or listen to stupid Tim Allen, or you can like driving your car or getting a new house. Nothing wrong with that, but I'm telling you, it's so easy. We're not living by faith when that's what we're living for. And you say, how can I tell if I'm living for those things? If not having them depresses you? If not being able to do them, I was thinking, this happened to me. Some time ago, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch this thing because some new movie had just come out on DVD and I want to go. And as I was getting ready to go do it, a member of my family wanted me to come over. And this is what I thought. I don't want to come over there. I don't want to go there right now. I want to go do my thing. This is what I was looking forward to. And I thought, how stupid you are, Dave Tice. How ignorant that is. Set your affections on things above. When you get upset about a relationship thing that's going on because it's keeping you away from a material thing or accomplishing some material goal, then you need to understand that the material goals have now become your God. And you need to say, Lord, help me to set my affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Living by faith is living for those things which are eternal. Living by faith, number three, requires us to consider God's power and our inabilities. Look what it says in verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse or barns. God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Now look at that. That is an ugly bird. This is the ugliest bird that God could think of. This is an ugly, ugly bird. This is not a beautiful parrot. This is not a toucan. This is not some wonderful, beautiful, this is ugly. It's got an ugly horned beak. It's just everything about it. It's just ugly. Isn't it amazing that God says, look, I want you to understand, he didn't choose a beautiful bird to describe. He didn't say, hey, consider, I can't even think of a beautiful, give me the name of a beautiful bird. Okay, one of those. Okay. He didn't say any one of those beautiful, wonderful, colorful birds. He didn't. He said, consider this ugly black raven. Consider this. God thinks about that raven. If God thinks about an ugly black raven, an ugly raven that just is nothing, it's the absence of colors there. That's just an ugly raven. And God cares about that thing. God cares about that thing. If God cares about that thing, then Job, maybe he cares about you too. Would you say amen to that? If God cares about that thing, then Dan, maybe he cares about you too. That's Jesus saying. That Jesus, he's giving us a wonderful picture here. He's saying, look, you if you're living by faith, you've got to understand. You've got to understand God's power. You've got to understand that he cares, that he is able to do what you cannot do. The raven is an ugly bird. There's no color, no beautiful song. Have you ever heard a raven? That's what you get from a raven. He sounds worse than me singing. They don't plant, they don't reap, and yet God takes care of them. And God says you're better than them. Wow, isn't that good? You don't have to be, you don't have to be the special one that God set aside. No, he cares about ravens. He cares about ravens. It's like, duh. If he cares about them, he'll care about you. Then he says, look, after you consider what God does for the ravens, consider what you're not able to do. Here's what you're not able to do. You can't ever grow even if you want to. It doesn't matter. You say, look, I'm this short guy. I was reading a story by Will Rice. He does a daily devotional. It's a really good devotional. He said, if you ever see Bill Rice standing next to his son, Will, there's probably about a foot difference, at least 6 or 7 inches different. He said, when I was in the seventh grade, I was shorter than everybody else, and they said, don't worry, one day you're just going to hit that growth spurt. He got to be 13 and no growth spurt. 14, no growth spurt. 16 and 17, he said, I was really getting leery, no growth spurt. He is now 35 years old and there's been no growth spurt. He said, you know, there's nothing I can do about that except trust the fact that God's in control of that. And he was saying, you know, some people are disappointed with God because God hasn't put them in authority in their life. And he uses it as an illustration to really, really good good devotional. He was saying people get upset because they're not their own boss. And they want to become their own boss, and they're not there, and it's just never going to happen. Instead of just saying, God, put me where he wants me to be, and I just need to understand that God uses authority in my life. It was just a tremendous illustration. But he's saying this, you can't grow if you don't want to, even if you want to. You have no ability in the least to make yourself physically taller. You have no ability at all. So you need to consider your inability. You need to consider God's power and his ability. That's walking by faith. God, there's certain things I just can't do. If anything's going to happen, it's going to be you doing it. Then he goes on. Jesus, again speaking, says, consider the lilies, how they grow. He said, consider the lilies of the field. They're beautiful. They grow with other lilies. They don't sit and criticize the other lily. You're not as big as I am. You're not as beautiful as they grow with other lilies. They're not alone. They're not just plain. Men and women admire their beauty. You look at them and you say, whoa, that's beautiful. Desert lilies grow in patches, and the green on a desert lily is sort of a faded green, but the flower is gorgeous. And people, you drive by them. I've driven down the road. My wife will say, stop, honey. I want to take a picture of them. My wife loves taking pictures. We have, now you have phones with cameras on them. I used to be able to say, we forgot the camera, honey. It's no problem. We forgot the camera. Now my wife says, oh, I got the phone. And she's got an iPad, and she can take pictures everywhere. Here's what the Bible says about these lilies. He says, you look at them. Their beauty is greater than Solomon's beauty. Now listen. God says, look, I care about the ravens who squawk and there's nothing beautiful about them. I care about them. And he says, I want you to understand that I care about the lilies. When you look at this field of lilies, I want you to think, they are beautiful. Those lilies trusted God, God didn't say, okay, now you trust me, I'm going to make you the ugliest thing on the planet. You can't look good, and you can't be admired, and you can't, if you trust me, you can't have it. No, he compares you, your life, now listen, to a lily. He compares your life to the lily of the field. The idea is this, God will take care of you in a way that you'll be more gorgeous, you'll be more attractive than Solomon in all of his glory. He just wants you to trust him. He just doesn't want you to live for the clothes. He just doesn't want you to live for the food. He wants you to trust him. He cares about the dumb raven. You can't do anything yourself to change yourself. And look what he does for grass. When the grass trusts him, he makes them into lilies. And if he can do that for lilies, then he can do that for you. Can you say amen to that? God wants you to understand, if he does that for dumb grass, he'll do that for you. So he says, look, think about them. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow, and they toil not. They spin not. You don't have to worry. What are we going to eat tomorrow? What if there's a depression? What if the stock market crashes again? What if I lose my job? What if? God doesn't want you worrying about those things, because that's a lack of faith. You just say, God, you take care of the dumb raven. I can't do anything about it. I can't even grow 18 inches. And you say that's a simple thing. And look what you do for the lilies of the field. I guess, God, if you can take care of dumb grass, you can take care of me. Can you say amen to that? That's what God wants us to understand. Living by faith requires us to consider God's power and our inability. Number four, living by faith means seeking to advance the kingdom. Verses 28 and on says this. It says, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, verse 29, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Don't doubt God, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. God knows your needs. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the kingdom of God, and these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, don't fear, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's got to be a determination in your life not to worry about material things. By the way, that's an act of your will. You say, but Pastor, I just worry about those things. I just get upset. You have to say, I'm not going to worry. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I recognize that worry is an act of fear and not an act of faith, and I will not worry. It's an absolute determination on your part. Look, Satan will cause you to worry about things you've done in the past. What if anybody finds out? You need to trust God. Satan will have you worry about future relationships. Trust God. He'll have you worry about future possessions or whether you're going to be able to make it and what your life is going to be like. Trust God day by day. It's a determination not to live for food or drink or clothing. It's a determination not to doubt God. God knows your need. If you believe that God knows your need, say amen. Amen. If you believe that God cares about your need, say amen. Amen. It's good that you said that because Jesus said he cares about you more than the dumb raven. And he does take care of the raven. So he says, you have to determine. God, you said you're going to take care of me. I'm not going to doubt you. It's a determination to seek God's kingdom and to do right, trusting him to take care of your physical needs, and a determination to confess fear as sin and trust God for your possessions. You know, when you doubt, it's because of fear, and when you fear, it is a lack of faith, and the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So I say, God, it's sin for me to worry. It's sin for me to not believe you. I'm going to go forward, do what you've told me to do, and trust you with the results. God, I know your priorities. I'm going to treat my wife. Let me just be real frank with you. When our church was very young, and I made a determination that my family was going to be before anything else, that my children and my wife were going to be the most important thing in the world, that I was going to take a day off with my family, even though our family was young, that I was going to take a vacation with them. People told me, you're absolutely crazy. You cannot build a church and that way. You can't have everything's got to go 100% into your family, or into your church. That's what you've got to do. And, you know, you can preach about the family, but you there are certain things that you're doing you just can't do. And I said, I'm going to do what I believe God wants me to do. I'm going to spend a day, at least a week, with my family. I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm going to do what God wants me to do with my family. I'm going to raise my family and keep them first. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm telling you, people said, you're going to ruin your kids. You're going to ruin your church. Your church will never be what it should be. You're never going to reach people for Christ. You're never going to have anything. And yet we just determined, no matter, and people say, wow, you just walked. Listen, fear was all around me all the time. Fear was all around me. Man, I'm going to do this thing, we're not going to have anything. I'm gonna take time with my family people said it. People said nothing will ever happen. You've got to be out this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I am. My heart and life is devoted to Christ and to this church, but it's devoted to Christ and my family first, and I think that's what's built this church. And the fact is, I was told over and over again, and I'm going to tell you this, when you decide you're going to live by faith, doing what God's word says to do that is right for you and your family and relationships, the devil will tell you, you can't do that. You've got to ignore that. You can't do that because it won't work. And you just have to make a determination. I'm not going to live for the... you're never going to have anything to eat. Well, that's fine. Then my wife and my children and I will starve together. Well, you're never going to have much of a church, okay? The church that God gives us will just grow together. We'll just do what God wants us to do. We're not going to bend priorities. We're not going to change what we believe. We're not going to change what we do in order to impress somebody who thinks that it won't work God's way. I actually had a businessman sitting about where you're sitting, Freddie, one time when I was teaching on living, building your business God's way. And I talked about the whole thing, doing it God's way. And I looked at the end of my lesson thinking, maybe this has really helped him. And I said, now, if you did that, if you did what I'm telling you God wants you to do with your business, what would happen? And he looked at me out loud and said, I would be an utter failure as a businessman. How sad that is. You know what? The devil was telling him the whole time I'm teaching him the word of God, the devil was telling him, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. If you did that, man, it would never work. And fear caused him to say, I can't believe God. I've got to do it my way. Oh, it's okay. I've trusted him for salvation, for my eternal life, forever, hell or heaven. I'll trust him for salvation, but I can't trust what his word says about how to live my life day by day. Living by faith means seeking to advance the kingdom of God. I'm going to live for his kingdom, and that's what I'm going to do. I'll seek him first, and then I'll let him add the things to my life. I want my life to be an example. I'm talking about personally. I want my life to be an example of the fact that we sought his kingdom first, not perfectly, but that Anna and I sought the kingdom of God first, made that our number one priority, and God has added so many things to our life. People look at us, I know there's people who think that we are just wealthy. Can I tell you this? That my wife and I have given hundreds personally of thousands of dollars. Because this church takes care of me so well, we're able to give thousands of dollars to missionaries every year. We're able to do that. And all we are, and my wife and I understand that we're a couple of dumb kids that grew up poor with nothing. And we choose to give away the things that God gives to us so that we live on a week-by-week basis like everybody else. God gives us a whole lot, places a whole lot of things in our hands. But our goal is to seek first the kingdom. I'm telling you this, you can't give away more than God can give back to you. God blesses us. People say, look at the car you're driving. I pulled into I pulled my car, this is years ago, I was driving my Mustang, and I pulled into a store, and there was a guy with a Mustang. He said, whoa, that's a nice car. I said, yeah, thanks a lot. He said, yeah, bet you didn't get the deal I got on mine. I said, what did you get? He told me his deal. He said, what did you pay for yours? I said, you really want to know? He said, yeah. I said, nothing. He said, what? I said, nothing. I said, a guy came into our church and said, I want to buy you a Mustang. And he said, what color? And he said, an automatic or a gear shift? Or do you want a hard top or convertible? I said, that was the deal I got, and I paid nothing. He said, how did you get that deal? The truth of the matter is, seek first his kingdom. And I'm not telling you you'll drive a Mustang or what I'm driving now, a Q60. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying God's word is true. You can't outgive God. Living by faith means seeking his kingdom. And my wife and I honestly have tried. We're not perfect. I'm a selfish and self-centered. I heard a man say this. He said, I'm so lazy. I'm just a lazy, lazy guy. And he said, I don't want anybody to find out, so I work real hard so nobody will ever find out. I want you to understand, I'm a selfish, self-centered guy. And I don't want anybody to ever find out, so I just keep giving things away. Because I'm selfish, but you can't outgive God. And if you seek first his kingdom, these things will be added unto you. That's what he said. Then lastly, living by faith is a willingness to give God everything you are in control of. You got to remember, you really don't own anything, but there's certain things you're in control of. Living by faith is a willingness to give God everything you are in control of, trusting him to meet your needs, not your own abilities. That is living by faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Our hearts will be controlled by where we place our money. That's the truth. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There are people who love this church and love the Lord. And they love this church and love the Lord because they've poured their finances into this church. They've poured their money into the church. And they've trusted God and they've watched God supply their needs. There are other people that have no loyalty to this church because they never give. And the Bible tells us that the church is the body of Christ. We need to understand that believing God means, hey, I'm willing to give God everything I have. Everything that he's placed in my control, I'm giving it to him, and I'm using it the way he wants me to use it. And I'm going to trust him to take care of me, and I'm not going to trust my own abilities. It's amazing the way God gave us this piece of property. Somebody said, man, you must be a great negotiator. God gave this piece of property to a person who knows nothing about negotiation so that he would get all the glory and all the honor. People said, people say things like this to me all the time. How did you do that? And the answer is, I didn't. Jesus did. Can you say amen to that? And that's the way God wants it to be in our lives. When we look at walking by faith, what does it mean? It means, number one, having the right priorities. It means, number two, setting your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. It means, number three, keeping focused on God's power and your inability. You don't have the ability to do the things that God wants you to do. I got to the point where I understand, or I think I understand, or maybe I'm just learning how inept I really am. And it amazes me. The more I realize that I cannot accomplish something, the more God just throws in my lap and says, here, do this. It amazes me where God has placed Liberty Baptist Church and what God is doing in Liberty Baptist Church. And it's not because this church is filled with men and women of great ability, but I want you to know this, that you're looking at somebody who does believe God. And I prove it by asking him to do things every day. And I do it by asking you to pray every single day. And I believe that God is hearing the prayers. If you think, hey, you know, I pray for the same thing over and over and over again, and it just doesn't seem to be happening, you keep on praying because things are happening around here. When we see three people saved on a morning service, just a typical morning service, that's an amazing thing. When you have somebody walking forward and saying, I want to get baptized, and they get saved. When you have a man walks down the aisle as a Marine and he just trusts Christ as his Savior. When you're sitting in a restaurant and somebody comes up and says and begins to talk to you, and they say, wow, I've been wanting to know how to get saved. When you hear of a lady who comes to church, she can only make it to Sunday school, so she goes into a Sunday school class, as happened this morning in this church. They walk into a Sunday school class. She says, Rick Burkett says to Dan Sikora, I want you to give a testimony of what God did to you. And Dan Sikora stands up in front of the Sunday school class and says, well, I went out on visitation this past Tuesday, and I talked to a guy, and I asked him, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, I always wanted to know that, but I don't, honestly, I got to tell you, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. And he says, can I share with you how? And the guy bows his head and trusts Christ. And a lady comes up, that lady that came and could only be here for 1 hour, happened to walk into that class. She had 5 or 6 classes she could have gone to. She winds up in the one class where a guy tells the story of a guy who says, I really don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Dan stands up. He doesn't do that every week. He did it this week because God moved. He did it this week. And he stands up because God wanted her to hear Dan say that, so that she walks up afterwards to Rick Burkett and said, you know what that man said? That man said that he didn't know for sure he was going to heaven. And I got to tell you, just like him, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Can you know that? And Rick gets an opportunity to lead her to Christ. Can you imagine God? That's God doing that. And that's because people are praying. And that is walking by faith. And I'm telling you, the more we pray, the more we'll see God do these things. But we've got to have the right priorities. We've got to set our affections on things above. We've got to keep focused on God's power and our inability. We've got to live to advance his kingdom. And then we've got to say, God, you've got control of everything that we own. Everything we have belongs to you. God, we're yours. That's living by faith. And when we live by faith, God will work through us, and we'll see his power manifest as we are seeing his power manifest today. So let's keep walking by faith. Can you say amen to that? Father, thank you for your word. Help us to live it. Help us to understand what it means. I pray, Father, that you'd help us not to just be hearers of what we heard tonight, but live it. I pray you'll challenge people tonight. to be men and women of prayer. Father, help us not to let Satan tell us that the fact that we repeat the same thing over and over every single day to you, our great God, that it's useless and nothing's happening. I pray that our people will pray and we'll see your power move in our church, that our church will be a church that lives by faith, trusting you. And God, that you do what your word says, God, that your name would be holy, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done in our lives here on this earth, just like it's done in heaven, and that you'd give us day by day everything we need to do your will, and you'd forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us, and you'd keep us from trials and temptations, and you'd deliver us from satanic attack, and your kingdom and power and glory would be known through us as we live for you, and lost people would get saved, and kings and leaders would get saved, and God, you'd move through as you are, continue to. We ask this in your name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.